just one last reminder, we do have choir practice this Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's the last practice before the Christmas service, so if you can please be there. I know, Jack, you'd appreciate it. I can't get enough water, folks. It's like I'm a bottomless well over here. This morning's scripture reading comes out of the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 26. It's actually through 45. So we've got some reading to get through this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, it's not going to turn for me, Fred. Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. When I began looking into writing this message, different things throughout the season obviously bring different memories back to me as we go through the Advent season and the Christmas season. And like many of you, you go out to your mailboxes and you find different brochures or ads or even catalogs, you know, for you to buy things for Christmas. I remember being a kid and probably the 2 or 3 months before Christmas, you know, I'm talking maybe I was 4 or 5 years old, the Sears and the JCPenney's catalog would come. To me, they seemed that big each. You know, they couldn't fit in the mailbox, so they'd have to stick them on the front porch or on your driveway, usually in a plastic bag because it came in a wrapper, right? You had to tear that wrapper off of them. So the street I lived on, the way it was situated, you had our house, and then two doors down was my grandparents' house. And directly across the street was my cousin's. And then next to them was another aunt. So we had our own small little village, so to speak, of family. And even our own neighbors who weren't blood were like family to us. And I got plenty of stories about that. But I can remember there was three kids in my family, and then three in my cousin's family. And we each had a cousin to grow up with, so to speak. So my cousin Jackie and I were about a year apart in age. And I can remember when those catalogs would come, we would end up in my grandparents' living room on the floor, and then we'd each have a marker. And then we'd each flip past the ads of men's and women's underwear, pots and pans, all the boring stuff that no one wants, to the toy section. I'd be circling everything with remote control cars and G.I. Joes, you know, footballs, and she'd be doing Care Bears, you know, strawberry shortcake and Barbie dolls, right? And then we would switch ads, switch to catalogs, and we'd do the same thing again. Why? Because, see, we could envision ourselves, you know, in the future playing with these toys for endless hours. We had a hope in the future for something. We were hoping that our parents would get us. Endless hours of thinking about those things. Now, the truth is, beloved, I always had that hope and that wish, but I never, sometimes, well, I like to say I didn't know, but I'll get to that in a moment. As today, as we conclude this series that we've been going through about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, which speaks about old Ebenezer Scrooge, we come to meet the first couple of ghosts. And the first ghost we met last week, I wish my clicker was working. I don't understand why it's not. Let me see if I can get it to work. There's just something not right today. Is that you? That's you. Okay. Well, that's the ghost of Fred back there working on my behalf. So, nonetheless, Fred, you got control of it because I can't do nothing for some reason. The ghost of Christmas past comes, and that first ghost reminds old Scrooge of all the opportunities that he had missed out on because of his greed and his love for money. He lost his relationship with the young woman he liked when he was a young man named Belle because he loved money more. He didn't want nothing to do with his only family he had left, which was Fred. He considered him just a bother and a nuisance. He had no relationship with the only employee he had, which was Bob Cratchit. He just saw him as just a cog in his wheel of his machinery to make money for him, and someone he'd have to give a couple, you know, coins to every week. The next ghost to come was the ghost of Christmas present. And that ghost there comes alongside him and begins to show him all the joy he was missing out on in that current year. But also was still hedged in because of relationships. He's taken to a party at his nephew's home, and he so much enjoys it, and he asks if he can stay till the end. But he had to move on. But we're visited by now the third ghost, the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Now, the way that Charles Dickens describes this ghost, and this is the one who would truly scare Christmas into Scrooge, describes him as a menacing figure in a dark-clad robe, almost a Grim Reaper type of ghost. Now, this particular ghost will take Scrooge on several scenes, and the first scene is involving a death of an individual. And you come upon this group of businessmen who were discussing the death of this rich man who had died. And then there's thieves attempting to sell off the furnishings of this dead rich man. Then you come upon a scene of a family who was now celebrating joy. Why? Because this rich man, they owed him a great debt. And now that he is dead, they don't have to pay it back anymore. Then you come to this next slide. And Scrooge is shown the death of Tiny Tim, Bob Cratchit's employee's son. They're mourning their son. So he's starting to see all the things that are beginning to transpire in his future. And then the last slide, Fred. Scrooge is taken to a cemetery, and he sees his own name. And that's when he comes to the recollection that in the first few visits he had with the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come was of his own death. When Scrooge learned that he was the dead man, he begins to beg the phantom, the ghost, if he can go back and change what has transpired. The phantom fades, and Scrooge is found back in his bed. You can go back to the blank screen, please. It should be a black screen, or you can just leave it there. Yeah, we don't got too forward yet. Beloved, the truth is this. What we all want to know, our future. Like me going through that list of Christmas gifts and those catalogs, I always somewhat wanted to know. And actually, I did. Why? Because I was a peeker. I was a peeker, I'll be honest. I deserved coal, but I still got toys. I was the kid who would get up, Rachel, where you at? I don't want you to hear this. But I'd get up and I would peek through the corners of the paper to see what I was getting. I was a peeker. Anyone else? Was there any other peekers in here? Yeah, see? At least we've got some honest people in the crowd this morning. So, but I couldn't handle the excitement. That was my excuse. But for most of us, we just don't know what our future will hold. I always think of a comment that a friend of mine once made when we saw that a local fortune teller, her business had shut down. And my friend said, if she was any good at her job, she should have known it was coming. Do we know what's going to happen? Do we want to know what's going to happen in our future? Because that can be a kind of a scary thing too. Oh my gosh, I know my future and this is now going to come around the turn. But here's the thing, beloved, back to Scripture. Mary knew. Mary knew what her future held. The angel comes to her and tells her that she is going to have this child. She listens to this angel flip through the pages of her future, and she starts to come into this understanding, I believe, that she's going to be an unwed, teenage pregnant mother, carrying within her womb the very Son of God. And she simply responds, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." It's been said about Mary that she's considered one of the most, probably the first charismatic person in all of Scripture. And what do I mean by that? Because she said in Scripture, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." In other words, "Father, do with me as you will, as your spirit leads." She was willing to allow the Lord to use her in his way. That's what being charismatic is. Why doesn't Mary say no? Have you ever thought about that? I believe it's because even before she finds out she's pregnant, being a good young Jewish person, she knew the biblical prophecies of the Torah that talked about the coming of the Messiah. So she was expecting that God would fulfill his promises one day and send a Messiah to earth. But she didn't expect that she would be the vehicle in which God would deliver her child through. So she understood Scripture. So she was expectant. She had a realization now in advance because of the angel foretelling this to her. What promises are you hoping to be fulfilled this Christmas? What are you expecting? The future is still unknown. Nonetheless, we are consoled to be people of faith. If we believe Jesus and believe in him, we are people of faith. And the book of Hebrews defines faith as what? As the assurance of things hoped for and of the things not seen. It's realization in advance. The prospect of promises to be what? Fulfilled. What are you expecting? Are you expecting gloom and doom? Or are you expecting prosperity, peace, and fullness? Is Jesus somewhere in those expectations? Scrooge was not expecting what the ghost of Christmas yet to come was to show him. He never considered that his life would end up in the way of death the way it did, and that it would actually be a blessing to people around him. At that moment, Scrooge, he has an epiphany. He has the power to change the future. He asks the ghost, are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they the shadows of the things that may be? In other words, does our future have to be defined by our past and our present reality? Or do we have control over what is yet to come? Well, here's the answer. We have some control and none. And that's kind of ambiguous, is it not? None in the fact that we can't travel forward in time to know what's going to happen. We're helpless to control the things that have yet to take place. But we do have something. We have hope. We have hope for something. We believe in our hearts, and then it can happen by expectation. As believers in Jesus, we pray with expectancy for something to transpire, to happen. We want something to be birthed in our heart. That way it can be delivered out later. Expectation, for he is the hope and the glory to bring about change. For Scripture says he will make all things new. After verse 45 comes verse 46, and I'm just going to paraphrase this for you this morning because I'm not doing real good up here with my voice. This is what's called the Magnificat, or Mary's song. When Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she is full of hope. In fact, she is so full of hope that she ends up bursting into song. And her song details God's grace and her and mercy to her. And the promises of God has been made through the prophets. In fact, almost every word of Mary's song is a biblical quotation from the Old Testament. Her song echoes the prophets with its theme of redemption, freedom, and justice. Beloved, I want you to notice something interesting about the Magnificat, or Mary's song. She starts off in the present tense, my soul magnifies the Lord. But then it quickly shifts to the past tense. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away. The past tense promises Mary sings about were believed to be fulfilled with the coming of the Messiah who had yet been born, to be born. What Mary is doing is singing about these promises in the past tense as if they've already have happened, that they've already have transpired. She's running her fingers through the prospect of the promises fulfilled. She's expecting what the future is going to hold. To be expecting is one of the great blessings we have in our Advent season. Listen to these words by this medieval mystic. The name was Eckhart. This is what Eckhart writes. We are all meant to be mothers of God in this sense. What good is it to me if the eternal birth of the divine Son takes place each year, but does not take place within myself. What good is it to me that Mary, who was full of grace, if I am not full of grace myself? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to a son if I do not also give birth to him in my time, to my culture? Beloved, we have an expectation in the future in God, and he wants us to partner with him. In partnering with him, we need to be expectant like Mary, to have him, his Holy Spirit, birth within us that can be delivered unto the world. Next slide, please. You're there. That's exactly the epiphany that Scrooge receives from this ghost. While Christ isn't specifically and explicitly mentioned in this story, it's clear that Scrooge was transformed, next slide, to be a bearer of God. We can look at that image, beloved. His heart at one point was hard and dead and crusty. And then as he goes throughout that night, he's being transformed by everything he's seen and he has learned. And he comes to a softer image, a man of joy and gladness and peace, wanting now to celebrate. When he awakens that Christmas morning, still very much alive, he exclaims, "Hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year." Now, obviously, that's not the quietest statement, saying, "I am a servant of the Lord and do with me what you will," but you know what? It's a good start. So, beloved, let us take our place alongside Mary and even old Scrooge, that we, as believers in Christ, we are to be image bearers of who he is to the world around us. God has a plan to use each one of us to make God's love known here on earth. He comes to each of us this Christmas and says, "Jesus Christ is inside you. Will you give birth to his love in your life? Will you share him to others? Will you share him with the world?" We may not know what's going to happen in our future, but we do know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us shape what the future may look like and make it look like God's kingdom, because we bear the image of Christ in us. And I'll close here, beloved. As God bears, as people called to bring the light of Christ to this world, it's up to us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, to extend mercy and grace to them, to help lift up the humble, to help feed the hungry and clothe the poor. The Lord empowers us through his Holy Spirit to be his hands and his feet to this hurting and dying world. Will you come along on the journey with him on this journey of faith? For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I believe you are calling us to be on pilgrimage with you, to walk with you, to extend grace and love to our community and to our region. Lord, you want us to be expectant. But Father, I just pray, Lord, you would just birth, Lord, who you are in our hearts, Father God, that it may now, Lord, be delivered unto the world as you did with Mary. Help us, Father, to know you in a deeper, new way, that we can truly be image bearers of who you are to the world around us. I pray and ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.